I want to know if you love my Lord. Amen. Listen to the sermon if you are. Since we're changing verses and all, I like it.
Amen. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord once again. Amen. Amen. God has blessed us with yet another day on this side of life, and we're thankful for all the blessings that he showers upon us each and every day. Thank my brothers for lifting us in song and everything else that we did as we partook of the table and remembered our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the sacrifice that was made on our behalf as we were able to give and be able to reflect on God's goodness. It's just once again good to be in the house of the Lord once again this morning. Amen. Wow, I heard there's some sisters and those that came in town to be with our dear sister who's in need, Sister Juanita. And so we just thank you for coming and sharing and being and serving. We really appreciate that and thankful for that. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 28. We're going to look at Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. All right. I thought it was on the screen, I'm sorry. And fortunately, we didn't upload. Old-fashioned book, still works. It still works. I'm going to add two more verses. Go with me to verse 16. Since I didn't add it on the screen, now I can just add it because it don't matter, does it? Matthew 18, look at verse 16 through 20. I'm sorry. Oh, my goodness. I'm looking at all these numbers. Matthew 28, 16 through 20. Matthew 28, 16 to 20. I said, that doesn't make any sense now. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and he spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Let's bow in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for this time as we have to be able to look at your word once again and gain instruction from it that we might be able to live by. Help us as we strive to look at your word and look at ourselves. Look at your word and look at ourselves. And be able to change what we see in ourselves by your word. Thank you, Lord, for this privilege. Thank you for reminding us our great responsibilities. Thank you, Lord, for showing us and sharing with us the greatest example of service ever in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for that example, and help us as we strive to look more and more, act more and more, talk more and more, and be more and more like him. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew 28, the Great Commission. Yesterday, Mark and I were privileged to be able to share the gospel with some people. And you may have looked online and saw four baptisms. And praise God, four baptisms on yesterday. And I want you to say, we didn't make a big thing about it this morning or anything like that. They were shared the gospel. They went on their way rejoicing. They live in Virginia, and matter of fact, one of them flew in. This is a cousin Sister Tony. Say hi, Tony. Just wave your hand in the air. Tony and Boyd have been a great blessing to this congregation. You may not know it, but they've been, many of the people have been baptized right now, been baptized because they've sowed seeds into them. Seeds into their family, seeds into friends, seeds into using the ministry that God has placed in their own home. They've been sharing. You've seen Taylor, their granddaughter, who's come in, and she's led some people to Christ as well. She got that from somewhere. Hello. But I'm bringing these things not to say, look at who's doing and look at what's happening and all that kind of stuff. Well, I guess I am saying that. God wants us actively sharing the message, the good news of Jesus Christ. And sometimes, like even on today, even though we can't rejoice in their being in our presence right now at this moment, we recognize that the job was done, that the word was planted, that the message took fruit in lives and all of that, and that people's lives are being changed, and that they can go on and share that message with someone else, even if it isn't a direct benefit to us. I used to feel like, let's just focus only on ourselves and only on what is going to directly impact us and all that. So in all of that, but God has shown us there's something bigger. There's a big world that's out there. And this great commission is a commission not just for your local area, but for the world. It's a worldwide commission. He tells us to go into all nations sharing a message. It's a message that is applicable no matter where you are, whether you are in Russia or Ukraine, whether you are in Mexico, whether you are in Asia, wherever you are, this message is applicable because man has the same problems, the same issue called sin. And he has the same solution. And his name is Jesus. Jesus standing with his disciples right before he's getting ready for his ascension, and now he's really getting ready to leave. And I don't know about if you ever sat with somebody who was getting ready to leave this earth, but when they start talking, you lean in a little bit to hear. You lean in to listen just a little bit more because you recognize the power of these words. And as Jesus is getting ready to ascend, the power of his words, the message that he is leaving with his disciples is this message. Now before he even gives them that message, I want you to see something important in verse 16. That's why I included it. Go back to verse 16. It says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee. Judas obviously is dead by now. They've gone into a mountain, it says, where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. When they saw, this is after Jesus' ascension, they worshiped him, but it says, but some doubted. I just want you to set the scene a little bit. There's joy, there's jubilation, there's worship, there's recognition of Jesus as Messiah, as the ascended Savior now, and now he's there in the midst of them, and it says that they're right there, and some of them still doubted. They believed, and yet still doubted. And I think it's important that we see this because we recognize whenever you get a group of people, you always have a mixed bag. There's always a mixed bag. There are some that's on fire. There's some that can see it. There's some that's going to take a little longer to see it. There's some that are activated and ready to go right at this moment. There are some that's going to take a little while. And then there's some that will never take. I'm going to just be honest. I ain't looking. I ain't judging. I ain't saying who's who, what's what. That's all God's business. But what I'm saying is that there ought to be some self-examination that goes on in our lives, that we ought to be examining selves and allowing ourselves to ask ourselves those questions. Where am I? Am I apathetic? Am I continuing to just go along and just continuing to coast with the church and continuing to doing, you know, my things? I'm checking in on Sunday mornings. I'm doing all those things. I'm going through the routines and all that. But is it real enough and so real that it's bubbling over, that it's coming out of me? And when I'm talking to people, I'm talking to them about Jesus. I'm sharing about Jesus, my examples about Jesus. When I'm posting on Facebook and on YouTube and on here and that there's something that shows Jesus in it, that it's not tearing others down and all that, but it's highlighting and promoting our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and his message and his mission. I know I said a lot. in this crowd, as Jesus is getting ready to go, he leaves them this message. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I'm commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I want you to see where Jesus starts this. Before he even says anything to them in the command, he first starts with his authority. All authority in heaven and on earth is mine, is really what he's saying. When I'm sending you, I'm sending you with the authority of heaven and earth and the power, the all-powerful of heaven and earth. When I speak, when Jesus speaks, he's speaking with the authority of all power of heaven and on earth. There is nothing that can defy what he's saying. There's nothing that can come against it. There's no lie that can fight against this truth. What he's saying is true, is powerful, and is backed up by the most powerful. Amen. Right now, we got an economy. It used to be our economy was backed by gold. Don't you go to Fort Knox anymore looking to see all those. No, they're not there. They're not there. They're figments of our imagination, some of it. I'm going to get too deep for some of y'all. That's all right. That's all right. But God backs it all up. It's there. All authority is his. And so Jesus tells them, by this authority I'm sending you out. And I think that's important because later on he's going to tell them, lo, I'll be with you through. So as we're doing the work that he's commissioned us to do, as he charged us to go out and share that, he's sending us with his power, and then he's saying, I'm going to be right beside you. Power is standing right beside us when we go out and do his will. We used to go knocking doors, and I remember, and I've shared this with you guys many times, I remember some of the easiest places to share with people are some of the hardest places to walk and be around. Don't go in at night. Hello? Yeah. But they're the places most people didn't want to go. The places we wanted to go, we would go up to the middle class neighborhoods and the upper middle class neighborhoods and the upper class neighborhoods, and we'd be knocking for days. They look out, close the door, right back, right? And so, but we had no fear there, no fear there, no fear there at all, right? But then the place we had the most fear was the place that embraced, that said, hey, I want to hear about this. I need to hear about a Savior. They didn't say it in those words. You got to talk the language now. Come on. But that's what they said. And we found out that wow, it didn't matter where we were, God was always with us. I got some stories. I can share some stories now. I ain't saying nothing ever happened that made you scared and think a little bit. But God was always with us. And what he wants, this is the thing about God. He, look at the men that he chose, common men. He could have went for the priests. He could have went for those that were the experts of the law and all that. No, but he gets fishermen. He gets publicans. He gets people, you know, just the regular people of society to be a part of his crew. And then he calls them and enables them and sends them to go forth into a world. Why? They can identify with the world. They understand the world. They were part of that world. And they can go back and speak to that world in a way that someone who separated themselves from that cannot. You've got something unique within you, brother and sister. God wants to use that uniqueness. God wants to use your voice wherever you are. If you're educated, man, use your educated voice. Hello. Because an educated person needs to hear that voice. If you're uneducated, you use your uneducated voice. Because there's someone else just like you who needs to hear your voice. Wherever you are, and that's the beauty about the gospel. Look at Paul. Paul, wherever he was, he said, I became what? All things Why? For what purpose? So to win some. Paul said, look, I learned how to be able to relate. I learned how to sit in the board. So I can sit in the boardroom and talk in the boardroom. And then I can sit on the street and sit there while folks is cracking beers and we sitting there playing dominoes. And, hello, y'all don't judge me, all right? Y'all do what you do. But wherever you are, represent. Share. Tell the story. Show people through who you are. Don't be afraid to share. Jesus said, I have all authority, right? And then he says, go therefore, because I have all authority, now I'm giving you this charge. Here's the charge. Go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Go teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father. The ultimate ought to be that a person, here's why baptism is so important. Baptism is a dividing line. Baptism is the point at which you turn, not baptism. It is not just the word baptism. I don't think baptism doesn't always include it all. Obeying the gospel in baptism is a little fuller picture. Baptism, just the act itself is you know, you get wet. Baptism just literally means to be submerged and dunked. But there's something even bigger to this. We're obeying the gospel. We're doing it as a response to the gospel of Jesus Christ. We've heard that Jesus is the Son of God. Now we believe that message, and it stirs something up within us that to say, look, I need to surrender and submit to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then I'm obeying the gospel in baptism. And I go into that watery grave, and I come up out of that watery grave, and I'm washed, and I'm clean, and we continue moving forward. But that's what we need to be charging people to get to this point, to a decision point, to a point, a dividing line between lost and saved and light and darkness. And we're the ones that need to be pushing that and sharing with people and saying, look, follow God's way. One of the things I've been noticing a whole lot, this isn't something new. But there's just so much confusion religiously. So much confusion out there in this world. You know, who's right? Even within the church, who's right? Who's right? Who's right? Right? Is it this brother? Is it that brother? And you know what? Jesus is right. Let's just go back to the book. Let's just keep it simple. Let's just not make it more complicated than it needs to be. Let's just continue focusing on loving the way God has called us to love, and also, but yet demanding that God's way be the way that we operate. There are some things I've been for a lot of different areas. There's things I go, you know what, I just don't know. It's just unclear. But then there are certain things I say, you know what, it's black and white. There's nothing can be moved. I don't care what you come with. Look, here it is. I hear some that will say, look, you can come to the Lord just by saying a prayer and ask him into your heart. That if you just believe and you say a prayer, you're saved. And I believe that you have to believe. Yeah, obviously. We've got to teach, and someone's got to come to a point of belief. But is that point of belief, is that what the Bible says, that at that point of belief, you're saved? I don't believe the Bible says that. And so then we have to look at the Bible. What is the Bible telling us? It is sharing with us, and it's showing us that this is reenactment. See, baptism, that's why I don't like to just only use the word baptism. We're obeying the gospel and even making it clearer, we're reenacting the gospel. Christ died. Christ was buried in a tomb. Christ rose. We died of sin. Romans 6 tells us that. Romans 6 tells us we're buried in that watery grave, and then we rise to walk in newness of life. See, a prayer doesn't reenact that. Baptism is a reenactment. It's us now being put ourselves into Jesus's place. is us also through, there's a testimony that's going on as we're reenacting. We're also testifying to the world of what they must do and reminding of what Jesus did. That's why a prayer isn't sufficient. Jesus, and here's why it isn't sufficient, because Jesus ain't say, just do that. That's it. But Jesus did say to his disciples to go into all the world and to teach make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And that last part is what I want to focus on right now. He says, and then we just can't just baptize and drop. I share with you guys, some of you. I was at a congregation and we did a whole lot of baptizing. You think this water's been moving here? We were doing a whole lot of baptizing. We would be baptizing campaigns. Mind you, I'm saying baptizing campaigns. We were doing a lot of work baptizing. But I noticed that the pressure, there was a technique that we kind of, it was a salesman type technique, to be honest with you. You sit down and we start talking about sin, and the penalty of sin, and how to get out of the penalty of sin. And if you do that enough, I recognize that we were baptizing a lot of people, and it felt like we were doing a lot of good work, and some of it we were. But I also noticed that there was a lot of out the back door, right? Not a lot of, a whole lot of. Like, I remember sitting there like, we had almost 100 baptisms this year. Looked like we're about to got the same number of people in the church. Jesus didn't say go out and do a campaign and make sure you do fire and brimstone and scare people into finally making a decision to get wet. He said, go make disciples. That strategy has been something that I've been trying to implement for a while. I want to see if someone is here. Tia's not here, is she? Tia, stand up, Tia. Is Sadie here? Sadie here? Can you come here, Sadie, please? Sadie and Tia, both of y'all, please. You're not going to have to say nothing. You ain't going to have to say nothing. Can you come forward, please? Give them a round of applause. How you doing? Good to see you. How you doing? Good to see you. Come here. Sadie was just back. Hold on a second. Sade, thank you. Sade. Since Sade's up here already. Sade McNeil, I want to give you a baptism certificate. Buried in baptism on the first day of February in the year of our Lord. Here you go, is your baptismal certificate. Don't go nowhere yet. Yeah. I don't know if y'all remember Sade. Sade.
Sade.
See, I've said it wrong still. All right. I'm going to just call her Day. All right, Day. She came up front and just enthusiastically, like I think we had spoke. Tia had brought her to church like probably a month before that. We had spoke afterward. They had been speaking for a while. And then all of a sudden, she came up front. As a matter of fact, she got up so enthusiastic. I'm like, who is she? I forgot who she was. She was so enthusiastic and bubbly. And like, and then finally, you know, we started connecting all the dots. And then this morning, I was sitting here thinking about this message. And I just started thinking about them for a second. All right? Thinking about, don't you do that. Thinking about decisions she made. That came because her cousin encouraged her. I don't know how long they've been talking. I don't know how long, but whatever she said to her, allowed her to finally come to the point. Amen. Oh, you want to sit down now? Yeah, you go ahead and sit down. Yeah. You want to sit down?
All right. I'm just happy.
I know it's happy. Amen. Give her a round of applause. Amen. 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 Ooh, that makes me feel good right there. Yeah. I'm looking in the audience real good. I don't see. Where's Sister Bracefield at? Where's Chelsea? Is she here? Chelsea! Chelsea, can you come here, please? Yeah, she's like, what is going on here now? She's with the kid. Yes, bring him, bring him. I should have prompted them. I'm sorry, y'all. The spirit is moving right now. Chelsea. Where's she at? She's coming. I see the door. Yeah, give her a round of applause, Chelsea. Come on up front, Chelsea. I know you have no idea. Give Chelsea another round of applause. My sister right here for a second. This is my sister Chelsea. Chelsea is an introvert, are you? Chelsea's a, if you know Chelsea, I ain't got to tell you that. Chelsea invited Tia about 15 years ago, maybe? Well, whenever we were at the Elks Lodge, was it Elks Lodge?
No, I wasn't there at Elks Lodge. I was there at
First Day. All right. That was what, 15, 10, something? That was at least 10 years ago. At least 10 years. Tia, how long ago was it she invited you to First Day? Long time ago. All right. Let's just say 10 years. All right, we're gonna get lost in the number right now. It was a long time. Tia didn't come back until a few years ago. Tia now led her cousin to the Lord. Do you see? Chelsea is an introvert. I love her. Thank you, Chelsea. That's it. That's the lesson. Sometimes we think evangelism needs to be loud and bold and in your face. And no, evangelism's everywhere. It's in the conversations you have at Thanksgiving. It's right there in your house as you're dealing with your children and you're talking to your cousin and it's right there in Wawa while you're getting your hoagies. Hello. Yeah, okay, some of y'all eat those too. Okay, all right, I see. But it's the simple thing. Sometimes we complicate it and we make it bigger than it is, but and we don't recognize the reach that we have. Look at the reach that we have. Look at the family members and friends and those that are around. Matter of fact, why not start there? Because those are the ones that you say, these are the ones I love the most. So these are the ones I want to know that they're saved and share with them the most because we come in contact with them and we love them and we want them to know the truth. But then also, let's not get to that part that we get complacent and that we forget who we are as a church and what our prime responsibility is. And even a charge to myself and the leadership and the elders and all that, that even in our meetings and all that, I want to charge us to focus more time, focusing on these things, on evangelism and focusing on how we can upbuild the people. We have a great building and it takes a lot of work for it. It does. But we have a great people too. And we got to build this up as much as we focus on the external things of this building and finances and all that kind of stuff that we need to do. Hello, somebody. But all of it is important. Let's not forget our purpose. Let's not forget what God has charged us to do. Let's not forget your impact, your individual impact. Don't wait on Brother Reyes. You don't have to wait on the elders. You don't have to wait on the deacons. You don't have to wait on the ministry leader. You got a person right there you can share with. You can talk to them about Jesus. And if you need help, here's the beautiful thing. you can invite them to come, and somebody will come alongside and be able to help you. I guarantee you, if you bring somebody to Mark and say, Mark, somebody needs, they need to learn the gospel, Mark is, he's going to put a smile on his face and say, there you go, let me add him. If you come to us and say, hey, we need somebody to you know, guys, I don't know how to share it with them, but I've invited them. Do your part. We'll do our part. You do your part. And then also recognize, hold on, I want to make sure this is clear. Your part is eventually to get to do our part too. Hello. All right, so I want to make sure that's clear. But if you can't, that don't mean you can't do anything. Do your part. Share, invite, and serve, and be in service to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's bow in prayer. Father in heaven, help us, Lord, as your church, to be your church, to recognize your command. This wasn't a suggestion, a great suggestion. This is a great commission. You've told us this is who we are and what we need to be doing. And you've commissioned us to go forth and share this good news with the world. There are a lot of different ways to do it. Help us to figure out our way, our unique way. Help us to make our impact. Help us to when it's all said and done, Lord, that we've impacted others for your good. That we've blessed others for your good, that we've done and shared and blessed and uplifted for you, for your good. Help us. Maybe there's someone here this morning who has not yet made a decision for you, who's yet not decided to turn and to give their life in your hands and obey the gospel of Jesus Christ in baptism. They're here, Lord, help them to make that decision. If they're not ready today, Lord, help them to get the questions that they need answered to be able to enable them to make that decision. But help them to get those answers and to make that decision now before it's too late. Help us to be on our charge and doing our responsibilities and sharing the word as you've called us to. Help us to be that light in this dark community. Help us to recognize that we are your mouthpieces, that we are your ambassadors. Help us to represent you well, to speak well of you, about you, and for you. Father, we ask all these things in the blessed name of our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 All right. Amen. Maybe there's someone here this morning, and you're ready to put on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in baptism. You're ready to obey the gospel. Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose. And today, you too can die from your sins, be buried in a water grave of baptism, rise to walk in newness of life. This can be your new day, your new life starting on this morning. If you're ready to make that decision for Jesus Christ, for what he's already done for us, won't you come right now as we stand and we sing the song of invitation.